Welcome. This is the August 13th regular KPFT LSB meeting. It's 7:01 p.m. by my clock. I will then call this meeting to order. Madam Secretary, can you call the roll to see if we do indeed have quorum and see who's here? You are muted.
I'm sorry. Okay, welcome everybody. Melissa Bowie, are you? I'm not hearing Melissa. I'll come back. Okay. Adriana Casanave?
Lillian Kerr? Present. Lillian Kerr is next.
Okay, yeah, Lillian Kerr?
Present.
Okay, and Adriana Casanave, I'm not hearing her. Glenn Etienne?
Present.
Glenn Etienne is, I see him.
I'm present.
Thank you. Yes. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Thank you. Jerry Fowler? You're muted, Jerry.
Present.
Hi, Jerry. Rhonda Garner?
Present.
Thank you, Rhonda. Robert Gartner? Not hearing Robert. Rob Lee?
Present.
Thank you, Rob. Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Good to have you here, Mike. Anita Long?
I'm here.
Okay, welcome. PK McCary? I'm not hearing PK. I'm not hearing PK. Marianne Martinez?
I'm here, Teresa, but I'm hearing a lot of backup noise.
Yeah, don't know why.
Put everyone mute.
All right. Sean McPherson.
I am, and the noise we're hearing is an echo on your end.
Well, I'm not doing anything differently, but I don't know what to say.
There's pretty much always been an echo on your lines.
Okay, Tori Mercer. Not hearing Tori. Stuart Nance. Not hearing Stuart. Rick Norris.
Hello, I am here.
Hi, Rick. Jane Chidler.
Okay.
Hi, Jane. Debbie Smith.
Present.
Thank you, Debbie. Ron Stubbers. Ron?
Muted.
Thank you.
Unmuted. Yes, I'm present.
Thank you. Michael Woodson?
Present.
Thank you, Michael Woodson. Colby Wright?
Present.
Thank you. Susan Young?
Here, present.
Sandy Weinman?
Present.
Thank you. Going back, Melissa Bowie, Anna Casanave, Robert Gartner, PK McCary, Tori Mercer, and Stuart Nance. I see you. Can you say hi?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. We have quorum, Mr. Chair.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Don't have any excused absences to report, so if somebody sends something in, I guess we'll consider it during the meeting, but otherwise we don't have any excused absences to vote on. In that case, we go to the agenda, and so for those folks that are on the stream, I can read that. So this is the draft, well, this is the draft agenda for the KPFT LSB regular meeting. It's a Zoom conference, August 13th, 2025. Of note, we have public comment at 8 o'clock at a fixed time. Agenda items in order may be pulled before or after the public comment period of 30 minutes as required. public comment is at 8 and we're trying to adjourn before 10. Other times that are listed in your agenda are estimates. We have in order, the items are one, call to order, two, the roll call and determination quorum. Item three is agenda approval. After approval requires a 2/3 vote to change. Item four is approval of the minutes from the July 9th, 2025 meeting. Item five would be a note about the self-evaluation questionnaire that was sent out and people are sending things in from. Item six is staff recognition. Item seven is deal with Rajat Chopra. It is LSB position. Item eight is ICE update. Susan talked to that. Item nine, I have the GM report. Item 10 is public comment. Should be at 8 o'clock. Item 11 report, we'll see what we have for that. Item 12, then we have the KPFT LSB committee and task force reports, development and outreach, MSRC governance, and the committee of inclusion. Item 13 would be the PNB director's report or reports, depending on how many people would like to give a report. We have item 14 is unfinished business. Item 15 would be new business. Item 16 is to confirm the date of the next LSB meeting, which would be September 10th, 2025. And then item 17 would be adjournment. Are there any objections to approval of this agenda?
No objections.
Young, your hand is up, but you're muted. Yes? Yes, Susan?
Yes, okay. I just wanted to make a comment. Thank you very much for putting the ICE report up there at my request. It's something really I've already started talking to Sandy about, and Sandy is on top of it. So I would suggest that we cover that question in his during his report.
Okay, so we'll strike that as a separate item then, correct? All right. For you folks that got the PDF version of this, you would have item 9 to be the IGM's report, and it's no longer he's an actual GM. So that will change the next time around. So objection, we will approve this agenda as amended.
Here's approval.
Thank you kindly. Approval of minutes for the July 9th meeting. Is there any objection to approving the minutes as they stand?
No.
Okay, not hearing any objection. We will approve the minutes for the July 9th meeting. The questionnaire, we received back a bunch of questionnaires from folks. I would say majority of the board. Do you want to say a short word? I don't think that we've got all the information collated yet. My apologies for that, but we're getting that together. Teresa, you have?
I'm sorry.
Do you have something that you'd like to say about the questionnaire or where we are?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, everybody. Actually, I'm still receiving. You should have it in your hands by. I'm almost finished collating it, so it will go out, and you will. Okay.
All right, we'll do that. So, thank you, everybody, for who has sent it in. If you want to get your information in there, go ahead and send it in. There's still time. So the next item then is staff recognition. Do we have anybody on the board who would like to recognize staff? Thank you. Hands raised. Lillian, you're Ms. Kerr, you're...
Hey, you can call me Lillian.
Lillian, yes, please.
Hi. You have the floor. I'd like to recognize She goes by Blue. I think she has a name, Girasol, but she's helped us a lot on Progressive Forum. She's doing an awesome job. And, I'm just really happy that she's on board.
Excellent. Much. Is she an intern or is she hired or Sandy knows the answer?
Yeah. She just shows up on Thursday.
She's just working and
doing the job.
Okay.
We send her sound files prior to the show and she does all the magic technical stuff. And, she's a great asset to Wally and myself.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. Rhonda, I think you had your hand.
Afternoon operations coordinator.
Operations coordinator. Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir. Rhonda,
I just
you...
wanted to, I just wanted to thank Elise Bench for covering for Robin, you know, while she was out of town for the Tom Hartman event.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you. Jerry, you're...
Marlo continues to be such an asset to the station. I am so happy she's there.
Great. Agreed. All right. That's short and sweet. So anybody else have anything they'd like to contribute there? Otherwise, we will... Or you can raise your hand and we'll bring it up later. But otherwise, we move to item 7, which is Mr. Chopra has missed the last 3 meetings without excuse and the meeting prior to that with an excuse. And so I believe that you should all have received a proposed resolution. Ms. Young, are you presenting that resolution?
Yeah, I'm pleased to do it. I mean, I'm very sorry. I think that people have tried to reach out to Rajat, and I think he's got a lot of challenges, you know, with family and with his business and so forth. It's a big loss that he hasn't been able to attend. The 2025 bylaws have a somewhat different way of replacing people on the LSBs and PNB, so I'm going to read. Whereas revised Pacifica bylaws for Pacifica v. New Day Pacifica et al. Settlement 2025, Article 4, Section 5C stipulates that any LSB member shall be removed from the LSB and caused to hold an LSB position upon the occurrence of any of the following. And number C is, by the way, this is the same as it has been. Failure of an LSB member to attend 3 consecutive LSB meetings, which absences have not been excused by a majority vote of the LSB members present at the meetings in question. So whereas Rajat Chopra has missed 3 consecutive unexcused meetings and is no longer eligible to serve on the LSB, whereas Section 6, filling of vacancies provides, if an LSB officer or other LSB member or LSB staff representative position becomes vacant midterm, the LSB shall elect a replacement for the remainder of the 3-year term or whatever the term is from among the members of the same station and class. Therefore, the KPFT LSB will initiate the procedure to fill the unexpired term of this member, Rajat Chopra, as follows. And what this is, what the therefore portion is to outline what the procedure for the election is. It is a procedure we have used before. The election to this position will be announced at the KPFT LSB meeting of August 13th, 2025. We're announcing it now. Posted on the KPFT website and the KPFT Facebook page following the meeting and will be announced on air with a deadline of candidate submissions to the KPFT LSB secretary no later than midnight Central Time, Friday, September 5, 2025, who will then forward them, the secretary will then forward them to all LSB members. Candidates will be invited to make statements at the KPFT LSB meeting on September 10, 2025. The election will be held by OPA vote with ballots issued on September 12, 2025 and due by midnight, September 26, 2025, which deadline can be extended if quorum is not reached and results announced as soon as possible after the deadline. The elected candidate will be informed and invited to be seated at the October 8th, 2025 KPFT LSV meeting. So I'm making that motion.
Do we have a second?
Well, can we have a discussion?
Do you have a discussion?
Yeah. No, after the second. Discussion after the second.
Okay.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Is there a discussion about this motion?
Yes. And I apologize. Yes. I can't get my hand up, so I don't know what's going on with this app, but I apologize to everyone. I am not able to raise my hand, but I do have something I'd like to say.
You are recognized, so go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, I'd like to find out, Mr. Chopra. I don't know him, but I'd like to get to know him. He's just a young guy that joined our committee here, and you know, I was hoping that maybe he could fill a seat on this committee of inclusion because we have to meet soon. And did anybody reach out to him? That's my question. Has anybody reached out to see what's going on with him? That's my question. Can anybody answer that?
I sent him an email. I sent him several texts. And I called him, left a message. Not at this meeting, but at the past meeting. I have sent several texts at previous meetings to come on the call.
And what happened, Teresa? He just didn't respond or what?
No response.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I mean, it's not worth making about what the situation is in a public meeting like this. No, I'm sure he has his reason.
Okay, Mac, is that you, MC?
PK.
Oh, no, PK is...
that's me. That's me. Yeah,
sorry.
Mac.
I only note in that reading of the bylaws provision that it does not, in fact, provide any process. I'll say that I've been on other boards, where, you know, there are similar attendance requirements and removal for non-attendance, but they all include some process. I don't mean to sound far-fetched, but you know, the guy could be laid up at the hospital and we would not know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is something that should be addressed in the bylaws because it is not now. That's all.
So you're looking for like a cure, some cure method or something like that. Okay. Thank you.
I'm not looking for anything like that today. The bylaws recently adopted or enacted, they say what they say. I'm merely pointing out that what I see is a procedural defect and that I hope that somebody makes a note somewhere and that it gets addressed going forward. That's all.
Agreed. Though I don't think that this section has actually changed from the previous bylaws, but Susan, you had your hand up?
Yeah, a couple things. One, Mac, I think that there have been discussions around this before, and I think the PMB may actually have adopted a policy, but there was a lot of that was contested. The governance committee, the National Governance Committee will be considering, putting forward bylaw amendments, and I will put that on the list. I'm on that committee. I want to suggest to Mary Ann that when the Committee of Inclusion convenes, Rajat can be invited to it. The Committee of Inclusion starts with the people who've been elected to it, the director and three LSB members. He was not elected to it. They can invite other people. So you are able to continue to reach out to him. And I wanted to note that PK has arrived.
Thank you. Rhonda?
Terry Mercer is there too.
Okay. Hi, this is Rhonda. With what Sean said, it could be that the new members don't even know that there is a, that bylaw exists, or that is that rule. So it might be a good idea if, Teresa, if you know of any other people that might be up for, you know, being removed, just to make sure that they're aware of what their responsibility is. Because we really didn't have much onboarding, and I just know from the past, but I don't know that the new members actually know that that rule is in place. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, good point. Thank you. And PK, if you are recognized, and Teresa, if you'll note, she's here.
Yeah. Thank you. I would just like, this is one of the tests of the, quote, new bylaws that we still, I still think that there needs to be kind of a conference. What happened to whoever was next in the lineups, while we're having, nominations for an LSB member this way? I'm just curious.
All right, Mr. Chair, I can respond to that.
Okay. Thank you.
There's no change in losing your eligibility, but there is a change in how, vacancy is filled. Now it is election by the LSBs. All of those who were in the lineup are welcome to put their names in for consideration, and I encourage them to do so. But it's the LSB that elects from those who were submitted. They do not have to be people who were on the list before. They can be people who were on the list before. That was a change in the 2025 bylaws.
Okay. My response to that is that they should have first option. And I guess that's something that we'll have to take up at a later date. But they should get first action. And the disproportionality of the way people have gotten on the board is suspect. So it bothers me a little bit. And I would like for us to really consider that I don't think that there's a problem if the person doesn't want it to do this. But I do think that not being in the lineup and having first dibs at being in that space should not be taken away. I don't think it's fair, and I think that it's disproportionately affecting the minority, the disenfranchised, like what happened with Sister Mama Sonia.
Thank you, PK. Appreciate that. Tori, your hand is up.
Yeah. Just to remind people, as a point of 25 years ago, self-selecting boards were the reason why there was a reorganization of Pacifica. And there was like four lawsuits, and it took years and years and years. And, of course, that was a self-selecting board at the national level. And we went to a membership board. So, you know, beware self-selecting boards. I know this is a question for governance committee, if we ever get around to doing that. But, you know, this is a real issue. It's not democratic. I'm done.
Okay. Thanks, Tori. So we have a motion on the floor. Are there objections to that motion? Hearing no objections, we will. Jerry, you have your hand up, or?
Yes, I just wanted to respond. This is hardly self-selection if we are merely replacing a single member.
Yes, it is exactly what it is. It's
no, the
board selecting a board member.
It is, It is electing one, but it's not elected. I'm not electing myself. I'm not reelecting myself right now. I believe there's a difference. If we were to say we vote on the next board, that would be abusive.
Well, there's two classes of nonprofits.
Point of order.
Yeah. So, Jerry,
people should not speak. It's not crosstalk.
Yeah, it's not a discussion, and I appreciate your point, Jerry. Also, Tori, you've made yours. Thank you, Jane. You have your.
Thank you. I wanted to respond to PK briefly, and just to say. That I share her concern, and we would love to see suggestions for candidates. I think that people who have connections in the community need to help us reach out, and I'd like to see some more names thrown into the pot. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Jane. So are there other comments, or are there objections to the motion as given?
I believe it passes with objection, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so hearing no objections, hearing no objections, then this motion carries, so we will be announcing this open position and moving forward with trying to find a person. So,
I would like to not be considered as a unanimous vote. I have a problem with it. So I'm okay. Not voting yes.
Yeah, me too, sir. Add me too. Marianne, add me.
All right. PK, Marianne, your nay votes are noted. Thank you. Motion still carries. So we'll move forward on that. Item 8 was deferred into the GM report. So item 9 is our general manager's report. Mr. Weinman, are you there?
I am. Thank you. Sorry, my internet's glitchy. So. It's a technology glitchy month for those of you that study those things. Anyway, good evening. Thank you for being here. And thank you for what you do. First, let me tell you that our bills are all paid and we remain in solid financial shape. Nothing extraordinary happened financially over the last month. That's a good thing. Unless, of course, somebody has that $1 million check I'm looking for. Anyone? No? Okay. We got another recording over 100,000. Pardon me?
I said it doesn't hurt to ask.
Thank you, Teresa. For the fifth straight month, we had a cum of over 100,000. Although I just looked, they just released the numbers for July. I didn't take a good look, but it looks like it went down to 87,000 and change, but market share remained at 0.4. Still a solid number for us. And can almost think back to additional transmitter problems we've been having, and I believe that might have something to do with it, hard to say. Of course, we did our Watermelon Festival. I want to thank all the volunteers that showed up and worked the door. Glenn, thank you, and everybody else that was out there. Turned out to be a good Saturday night event. Friday was a little light, but altogether, we grossed $3,100 at the door. I'm still trying to figure out what the Cottonwood Club management's doing. So they want part of that. We've been splitting the door over the last few years, but they're saying they won't fill out a W-9 without the W-9, no money. That's the way it goes. Can't distribute it to anyone. So we're still working with them, but the gross was $3,100. And actually the Saturday event was really well attended and it was a lot of fun, I think, for all. So thanks to all our volunteers. Also those that arrived on Friday. We had our Grand People's Tom Hartman event this last Saturday night. A few of you on the call here were there. I think everybody was happy with the event. As we deconstruct it, there are some things we might have done a little differently, but altogether, I think it went very well. I don't have an accounting on it yet, but we cleared at least $3,300, and there may be as much as $4,000 there. I'm waiting on Robin to get back to add up the parts and pieces. She's on vacation. So it was a financial positive for us, although not as much as I thought we might have made. Anyway, good event. We could do that again any old time. The final event I want to talk about is the one coming up in September on the 6th. We have our Dead on the Lake. We still have 10 pair of passes or 20 seats, 10 pair of seats left. For those of you with friends on this call, tell them, maybe they'll want to go. If you don't have the friends now, go make some. That'd be a good thing. Over the course of last month, we have a generator in our backyard. It's not quite hooked up yet to everything, but a listener donated a brand new 13 kilowatt tri-fuel powered generator. It runs on gasoline, runs on propane, or it runs on natural gas. There's a natural gas stub up in our backyard there, which no meter. So I guess we got to call the gas company and figure all that out and see what a transfer switch will cost and hook up that generator. So if power goes down in the studio, that generator will start up and power the building. 13 kilowatts should be sufficient for the studio building. Now the transmitter is another story, but at least we got one of the two points that we need covered. Thanks to that listener, who will be going on the Den on the Lake cruise, by the way. You've noticed that the FM HD is out. So a couple of you might have noticed that now for a couple of weeks, almost three. I think we're on our third week here. During a storm, a GPS antenna fell off the tower. And when it was restored on the tower, it didn't work at that point. So we got a new one. It was installed. It's working happily. However, Nautel has now detected further problems with our transmitter this morning that he's going to have to take out there and install at some point. I think he said tomorrow he's going to be working with Mo on that. There's a lot of configurations that have to go in once the software is plugged into the transmitter, and they'll be doing that. We may be off the air while they're getting that done tomorrow. We'll see. Hopefully that will cure the ill. That's the next step that we've spotted. That fixes it great. If not, we will have to keep digging. You know, for a long time, we've been having internet problems hooking up the studio to the transmitter. It's called a studio to transmitter link. It's supposed to be done with a microwave signal, 10 or 11 megahertz microwave signal that emanates from the studio and hits a small parabolic dish at the transmitter tower on Houston North Fairbanks. And we have all the electronics to drive this. They've been in storage. Stuart today suggested we send them off for test. I'll talk to Howard about that. Perhaps we'll go that route, or perhaps we'll just plug them in and see if it works. We're getting a loan, or it's been suggested that we could get a temporary or portable tower. We need about a 50-foot span and as a proof of concept. And that would be supplied by the engineer over at TSU who came over and visited. He had a really nice conversation, and I'm very anxious to go over and see their studios and talk to them a little bit more and see if they have any spare CD players for us too. Kidding. Okay, so we have another issue with our broadcast chain, our transmitter. There's a device called an Omnia, which is a voice processor, or a signal processor, I should say, and it's glitchy. We received another one to put in, and it didn't work, so it's on the way back. And the one we have, we're having problems with, so Howard's working on it alongside Nautel, but so far we haven't been able to make too much progress on that. We need to get that fixed, and that's what is accounting for volume changes on the HD signals largely. You listen, the volume shifts up, it shifts down. It's that piece of equipment that's functional. So bear with us. Again, limited budget. Mo's our network engineer, and he just finished a $36,000 restoration of the WPFW transmitter. They had a fire. Okay. So he's been busy with that. We've been on the air. All three HD channels are streaming, and analog FM is blaring away at 100,000 watts. And if you have an HD radio, the analog is picked up on HD1. On HD2 and 3, not there on the FM airwaves. They'll be back. We're adding a new show on HD2. It's a collection of activist groups. It's called We the People. And Marlo is getting that scheduled. And that will have live audio, recorded audio, live on location, and also events and calendars that will be put forward. I think that's Jesse Castaneda that's driving that. We're also launching a new wave show called Tsunami. Why not, right? You can have a wave, make it a big one. And that's going to be hosted by Lee Martin, and it will premiere later this month. Huge thanks again to Bob Sanborn. He was on this morning with Children at Risk. That little program is accounting for almost a month's worth of revenue, $45,000. If all programs funded like that, well, we'd have a staff of about 20 because we could afford it. And we'd have a lot of other things that we probably need because we could pay cash for them. But in this case, Bob created this. The idea was his. And he's the one that really did the legwork to get it started, and it's really rolling along nicely. So I just want to acknowledge him in this meeting. Robin reports that we have 2,853 households. That's 23 more than we had in July, and about 150 more than we had if we go back 2 months to June. So, again, we're going in the right direction. Part of that is calling lapsed owners. So thank you, Teresa and Kurt and the other folks that have been coming in and doing that. It's a few dollars, but it's also a few members that we can add to the rolls. Our app. Remember, I've been talking to you about our app for some time now, and I'm looking in the App Store every day because the developer told me pretty soon this will be in the App Store, and this will really make HD 1, 2, and 3 accessible. And I encourage this group on this call especially to go download this. There'll be an Android version following shortly, but download it. We need a bigger beta test group. You guys are it, okay? And then spread the word. It's working very well. I had no issues with it, nor have the other people that have it to that have done this test now for a couple months. So,
Sandy,
take a look for that. KPFT.
Sandy, could I ask a question real quickly? Could you tell us how to download it if it's not on the App Store?
Well, you can't right now, okay? But once it's in the App Store, you'll be able to.
Thank you. That's it. Sorry.
There's a store for developers called Test Flight, and I don't want to get into the gory details. They were left a mark on me. I went and saw a psychologist, and that guy fixed it. So you don't want to go down that path, Rob.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Continue,
anyway, I think that's going to make a big difference in the proliferation of HD 2 and 3 for sure. Let's see. Our 55 for 55 campaign exceeded $85,000 this week. So woohoo, right? Doing good. And we'll get the September rollover included in that. We fully expect to hit the new goal of 110,000 before it's done and beyond that. And at the end of September, we'll be starting our October fund drive. So there'll be a new Allegiance campaign to start tracking. There's always an active campaign, always. Okay. So 55 for 55 this year is what we do in between the three drives we've conducted in this fiscal year. Speaking of drives and such, our sustainer income's at $24,739, coming from 1,470 donors. We got a $240 sustainer this morning on Clint Broussard's show. So this fluctuates a little bit, but if you think about $1,000 more in sustaining pledges, $5 at a time. It takes quite a few people to get there. So the number that I give you every month is relatively constant, but is upward in trend. I'd like to see that number expand to 30,000, given our new budget demands. There's credit card balances paid off as usual. We're not carrying any debt that I know of. I want to again thank Marlo and Teresa and Rob Lee, Di, Augie, Kurt, Natalie, and everybody else that are coming in and calling lapsed donors. And from those efforts, we've raised $9,345 in this fiscal year. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. More of you that are available to make those calls, come on in. Sit down, spend a few hours, raise a little money. On August 1st, myself, I signed a 2-year contract with Pacifica, employment contract, and Marlo Blue has done the same for the position of program director. So to be transparent, I did negotiate down on the offered salary quite a bit, and so did Marlo. We both extended healthy discounts so that our budget won't be impacted to the point where we won't be able to keep up our trend of fiscal recovery and be able to build a bigger staff. Frankly, I didn't think it fair that, you know, more money come one way when we need so much and it needs to be spread out. So that's what we're doing. I'll take your questions. Thank you. Susan, is that a legacy hand or is that a hand? Susan Young?
That's a hand. Okay. So I would, two things. One, I would really like to acknowledge Sandy and Marlo for your dedication from July 2022 to today. I'm so glad for your generosity in helping us begin to build a permanent staff. This is a really major moment, and thank you to you both. That's one thing. The second thing is I wanted to bring up the ICE situation. So in the director's report, I'm going to give a little rundown on what the ED has done with the affiliates about a Project 2025 recap. But I have had people say, I don't know what's really happening. There's a lot of fake news out there. What's really happening? Well, I have two instances where people I know or I'm aware of have gotten rounded up by ICE. And, so I asked Sandy, you know, what kind of reporting we're doing on it. And there is a program on Friday morning, 9:30, and he put me in touch with Lisi, and Sandy, you may be able to describe this program. And what I've been talking with them about is how when people know about ICE roundups, get the information to KPFT. I think it's important for us all to know what is happening. So anyway, Sandy, would you be kind to mention the program, Lisi's and John's program?
Sure. It's called Alerte Immigrante, or Immigrant Alert in English. It's a bilingual program. It covers the rights of immigrants, where to get help. It covers what's going on in the news with immigrants and, yeah, ICE and the Stalinite-like behavior of deporting people. Anyway, they're doing an excellent job, and it's fully bilingual. I'm really proud of these guys. When you listen to it, it doesn't matter if you're fluent in Spanish or you're fluent in English, one or the other, and not both. It's still the audio, it strikes the ear. You can digest it. You can think around the language shifts, even if you don't know Spanish or don't know English. They're doing an excellent job with presentation. And if you listen to it, the type of information they're giving with the phone numbers and the people to see the reference points for people looking for help, processes, the way they're supposed to work, really invaluable, really hits the nail on the head. So anyway, that in a nutshell, that's it. And that's 9:30 to 10 a.m. Friday mornings. HD1.
All right. Thanks, Sandy. Rob, you had your hand up?
Yes. Sandy, I don't know if I heard or read you correctly, but sustainers are, for lack of a better word, re-upping at approximately 60%. Is that right? So sustainers, a year later, once someone is a sustainer, they re-up or they pledge again at about 60%. Is that correct?
That's about right. I mean, the renewal rate isn't great, but you know, Robin went on vacation and she left me the keys to the Allegiant system and to pull credit cards on certain days of the month. And this was one of those days. Okay. Credit cards, it's sustainers.
If there's a credit card issue, this morning, I'll give you a for instance. I didn't want the exact number. But approximate number. If there's a credit card issue, obviously that's something else.
That's the majority of it.
Go ahead.
There are people that for fiscal reasons want to give it up or other reasons want to give it up, sure. But most of the times that the credit card doesn't run, it's because the credit card was canceled, the number changed, et cetera. And then when that happens, our Allegiant system automatically, the moment that happens, that person gets an email, a very nicely written email from our Allegiant system. It's automatic. Okay. And it will tell them that, you know, your credit card didn't go, contact membership, or is this correct? That kind of thing. But anyway, that's most of the dropouts on that. That's correct.
Okay. So my comment on that is whatever the rate is, obviously, the credit card would be something maybe we could work on, but I have been with other organizations and I might be committing heresy here, but I would like to provide an additional benefit to sustainers to try to separate and obviously encourage more people to be sustainers. And so I don't know how that it could be done or if the board would be in favor, but if there would be, I don't even know what, some benefit, whether it's a private party at KPFT or whatever, we don't even need to go into that. I would like to, and I've seen it be very successful with other organizations, trying to do a different membership level, a different level of benefits for people that pay a higher amount. So this is not the time or place to go into this, but if people are in favor, I'd love to be a working group and work on that to try to work harder at getting more sustainers, because I think that's the future. And that's all I need to go over here. And if you have any comments, that's fine.
Thanks, Rob.
I have a question. I don't have the hand thing.
Debbie?
Yeah. So how many paid employees do we have now? Four?
No, three.
Oh.
Howard, okay. Myself, and Marlo are now Pacifica employees.
Oh, okay. See, I thought Robin was. Okay.
No, Robin's a contractor. That's mostly by choice, but.
Oh, okay.
She's a contractor.
Okay.
Thank you. Michael, you get your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to compliment Sandy, really. I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying this, that I was on the National Finance Committee meeting yesterday, and I was listening to a report by KPFK, and we are light years ahead. So I just thought I would tell the board, by comparison, we got our act together, so congrats, Sandy.
Good job. Appreciate that. Yeah, that reflects on you.
Here, here.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions? The GM?
Sorry.
Not hearing any. Thank you kindly.
You want me to ask my questions during public comment?
Sure.
Okay.
That would be fun. So the next item, Is your hand up?
Susan, yes, it is. Just talking about if Teresa is wanting to ask questions of the ED, I mean, of the GM, as secretary or as a committee member, it might be more appropriate for her to do that during the meeting because public comment is not questions and answers.
There's no back and forth.
I'll just do a
good point. That's a good point.
Development report.
Yep.
Good. All right. Good answer. Thank you kindly. So the item 11 then is the ED report. I don't think we have an ED report. Do you want to cover? Okay. You want to cover that then?
Yeah. Let me just, take this moment. We've got the ED report and then
the PNB directors. Yeah.
Yeah. I suggest if it's okay, lumping the ED report with the PNB director's report. I just forwarded the ED report. She does a wonderful written detailed report. I had meant to send it sooner. She provided it to us for the August 7th meeting. You will all have it in hand. She has one of the things that she has done, and she gave a long sort of verbal report at the August 7th meeting, is she has had a detailed briefing with the affiliates about Project 2025, what it means for public and community radio, how we need to protect ourselves, and how we need to cover the stories. So this that I brought up about ICE is, you know, sort of like one dimension of that. She's going to provide us all the presentation that she gave to affiliates. You know, we have more than 200 affiliates. Some of them receive CPB funding. Their situations are different. They are not owned by us. They are affiliated with us. So she was, and they are one of our major sources to put information out about us and to receive information about the world at large. For instance, when the LA fire was happening, one of the affiliates was in Lahaina and was able to relate right then and there to what we were going through in Pacific Palisades. Regarding the directors, we had a regular meeting on last Thursday. We're having a single purpose special executive session meeting tomorrow for a disciplinary matter. In our open session last week, we had a long discussion about why disciplinary matters are in executive session. That is according to Robert's rules. A charge is what is something that is deemed as a charge under bylaws, but all the procedures are dictated by Robert's Rules of Order, procedure including closed session. Closed session is to protect basically the body, because information that can be shared can be used as a complaint against the foundation. So all of these arguments and discussions are in closed session. We have three active committees. Audit, Max serves on that, although I think I just listened in on one meeting, that the auditors have a big load to do because they're catching up on 2 years. The auditors, when they report on the audit, they report first to the audit committee and then to the board. They do not report through management. The audit committee will be meeting again to consider what the committee charter should be, which goes into what are the roles of the committee and how do we make sure that the independence of the process, which is governance people do not insert their noses into what the staff collection of information is, nor does management insert their noses into governance review of the adequacy of financial management and what the actual results are. The governance committee, Marianne and I serve on that. We had an initial meeting and just nominated people to be committee chair and secretary. Don't know what the outcomes are those yet. And our next meeting is August 21, I believe. And then NFC, both Michael and I serve on it. And Michael, you want to give a report? NFC is the most active committee, meets twice a month. Michael?
Sorry about that. Yes, we met yesterday. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And the affiliates gave a report, and KPFK gave a report on budget concerns. I don't know. In short, the affiliates were really strong. They have like 200-plus affiliate stations, and their budget is in order and actually kind of in the black, you know, by, you know, a couple of thousand, but everything looks like it's really going well there. And like I said, I think APFK, although it's improving vastly, I don't know if I'm allowed to actually give numbers and such. I don't know about the proprietary stuff. So I'll just say, you know, it is going really well, better than it was, but still, things seem to be in a bit of a disarray with regards to staff out there at KPFK and, just generally fundraising. Mitch Jesuits, if you know him, I think he's retiring. And, that's what I can remember from the meeting yesterday.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Actually, we're coming up pretty quick on 8 o'clock, which would be the public comment section. Our bylaws call for a 30-minute interval for public comment. This gives the opportunity for the public to address the board, although not for the board to address comments from the public. The rules for this time are that we don't talk about personnel issues or make ad hominem attacks. We try not to do any slandering or cussing or that sort of thing. If not, I can give a warning if continued behavior can be resulted in ejection. Hope that doesn't happen because we get a lot of good information during public comment. Board members are not allowed to comment, speak, or respond. Time for each speaker is 5 minutes, and if all speakers have had an opportunity, then those who have spoken before may speak again and within that 30-minute time limit. And we appreciate that people, generally speaking, stick to that. So I will open a public comment. Are there people who would like to speak during public comments? You can raise your hand or, okay. So, Nancy, I think that's you, 1438. Nancy, you are recognized for 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes? Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. You know, taking away the runner-up's rights to fill the vacancies is a violation of the existing bylaws when this new bylaw was made. So you are violating and disrespecting the membership voted in the last election. I want you to consider to make a motion for this KPFT LSB. Just consider it to make a list of candidates in the exact order of the runups of the last election. That way, you are respecting the membership, that how they voted. You're not disenfranchising the membership. At the same time, you are following the new bylaws by selecting the replacements. And you save time by not having to do it one by one by one when these vacancies show up. You've got at least five people, I think, left on the runner-ups. I forgot, five or six. Please consider to do that. And I do agree, this should be discussed in the governance committee, but maybe you can do it now. in this meeting or send it to the governance committee. I don't just suddenly disenfranchise the membership's voting result. Please don't do that. I'm happy that KPFD is doing well with their goals and working on these drop-offs. When even it's a fraction of a second of a drop-off, I'm not sure if I really understood. Did I hear? Because, you know, just a one word missing and you might get the wrong, you know, intention of the speaker. So I like to go straight to Ralph Nader's radio hour to hear it rather than hear it on the HD2 or on the my smartphone, because then I can hear it without drop-offs. So I do hope that we can work hard to improve our audio. I'm glad to hear there's efforts being made. I'm waiting anxiously for that to be healed. And we're not out of hurricane season yet, but so far we've been lucky. But still, for any person, any time of the year, we need to hear all the words as possible. And we do have a Nautel. This Nautel was top of the line, installed on Labor Day in 2014. So it's now, pretty soon, it's going to have its 11th year birthday. We're doing much better than KPFK. They're standing to have to buy a new transmitter at $280,000. That's what they're, and they need equipment to help them in the short time. In the meanwhile, about $30,000 to put some equipment. And the fires came up to the transmitter 50 feet away of the KPFK antenna, and they don't have the staff. They don't have people to be chopping down the greenery, the grass, and the all that stuff. Oh, my time's up. So we are in a luckier position. Thank you. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Do we have someone else who would like to speak during public comment section? Raised hands.
I would like to speak.
Okay. Let's see. 4892 phone number. You're recognized. Go ahead.
So I want to echo some of the things that a small minority of board members have said, and also the previous speaker, Nancy, about filling the vacancies. I do think that it is unfair to the listeners who voted and the programmers who voted. But I think what would appeal more to this board rather than fairness is resources. And nobody can argue that it is an absolute waste of resources to fill the vacancies in a different way other than through the runner-up list, of which we have already spent, I don't even know how many thousands of dollars on that election. We've already spent so many resources producing this election, these election results that our listeners and our programmers voted for. So not only would you be disenfranchising them again, which I'm pretty sure you don't care about, but prove me wrong, you will be wasting resources that we've already used. And you'll be wasting resources that we don't even really have right now to fill the vacancies. So I think the suggestion that Nancy made was great. You can, there's a way for you to fulfill both the new bylaws, but also stay true to your listeners and your programmers. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Do we have other folks who would like to, if you're on the phone and you can't raise your hand, you can say something during this time. And otherwise, okay. Do we have, okay, Nancy, you are recognized.
Do I speak, what, 3 minutes, is it?
You have 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to set my timer. I want to say that there are some really, really bad things happening in Pacifica. To take away the rights of the LSC, looking at financial documents, that's a big one. That is a very big, you put the whole network in jeopardy, and you take away the eyes to see the figures. This has got to change. Somebody's got to step up and say, no, we have a right. We're elected to, LSB is elected to make sure that Pacifica is protected financially, and having all the information going to just one person without having 24 people being able to look at things is wrong. why pay, I forgot how much, 100,000, I don't know how much it was for the election. Why pay all that money for the elections? I think two elections ago, it was 70,000 for the NES. And I don't know about the last election. And it's strange that all this money paid for election. And only 56 of our 88 staff voted. Only 56 of the WBAI staff of 127 voted. Very few people are voting, you know. About 3,000 of our listener members voted out of, we have much more than that. That's not right. I'll have the figures better next time. It's up on elections.pacifica.org, the NES report. And it's a whole lot of money. And then you take away the rights to oversee finance and oversee management. You put, KPFD into jeopardy, into chance disaster, like see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. And we're better than that. We should not do this. We need to amend this bylaws. And y'all can start it. Y'all can start the fire. You have power in your hand. And what I said last month about the November 21st PNB meeting, egregious things were passed. And that one of them was the worst one, I will say, is giving the ED the power to revoke a membership and revoke the voting rights of that person. Any person who's a member. And you can look it up in the minutes. If you don't know how to find minutes, you go to kpftx.org. And then you click archives. And then you click year. And then you click filter committees. And scroll down to the PNB. And then you go to November 21, 2024. And you look at the minutes, and the minutes are not there posted, but the agenda is, and so you'll see the motion and the agenda. And if you listen to the archived recording, you can hear them vote on it and discuss it. And it did pass. It's kind of awful. Also, not allowing station members to be in committees, LSB committees, the governance, finance, and personnel. The finance, you should allow them to be able to have a vote, because the last one to make a decision is the LSB. So you don't have any danger of a whole bunch of members coming in, becoming members and voting in a strange way or a way that would not be beneficial to KPFT, because the LSB has the final say. But it was unnecessary to violate the pre-existing bylaws. At that time, it was the existing bylaws. Station members have a right to be in LSB committees. Okay, so that was, you know, that was in that same meeting. You'll see it in there. I mean, I'm not making up things. I don't think people really believed me last month. It's there. Thank you. Back to you.
5 minutes. All right. Thank you. Anissa, you have your hand up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In Thanksgiving about last year, I believe, there's a wonderful group called Communities Not Cages. And since mass incarceration is a very important issue to a lot of people, everybody tried to keep up with them and work with them, volunteer, do whatever, because maybe we can solve the incarceration issue fairly.
Hello?
Yeah, that was...
Oh, that's it. Okay. Thanks for that. Do we have... We have some time left in public comment. Are there other folks who would like to... I'm hearing something, but I don't think it... Okay. If somebody spots somebody on the Zoom, let me know.
Well, since I'm not an LSB member, I would like to comment in public comment if possible.
Okay.
Okay. I would just like to thank Michael Woodson for his coverage this past week. He interviewed Vance, and then he would play a clip from that interview and then start the public discussion on the call. I thought it dovetailed beautifully, and I think it probably encouraged a lot of people to go to the Tom Hartman event. And so I just thought it was a great idea. And if we can do other things like that, I mean, I'm sure he's always looking for relevant topics to kind of people get engaged in civic engagement. But I thought it was well done. So thanks to Michael Woodson here for leading those discussions.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that input. Appreciate the show. And do we have other folks who would like to have input during public comment? Third 10. You are recognized.
Thank you. I've been having trouble making my computer bring in your meeting. Sorry I'm so late. You probably already roasted some people in New Day for some of the things they did. Did you already discuss that?
I can answer that. There's no agenda item for that, so no.
So how much of the public comment has gone by already?
15 minutes. It goes from 8 to 8:30 Central.
Thank you. I'm a longtime staff member of KPFK, Los Angeles, and I'm really unhappy about some of the things they've done and pulling strings to elect who they wanted at various stations, and now they're cutting back to on their LSV meetings, so we can't even take our 30 minutes to complain on that. And I guess I don't have anything positive to say except keep the faith, y'all, who are trying to stay true to the mission of Pacifica, and talk to the people and hear from the people, and don't shut them out, and don't shut out the LSBs. I assume you said that I'm out of time.
No, you have 5 minutes. Two are gone.
5 minutes. Wow. Are they all the members of your meeting still here? It looks like a lot of them are. Thank you. Thanks for all who really want to hear from the public, the community, the listeners, the listener sponsors, the listeners who are not yet sponsors, and hopefully they'll join up. And well, since I didn't hear what you said or not said, I it's hard. I hope we will stick by the mission and and listen to the communities and not try any finagling and do any lawyerish finagling like has been done, and to pull the rug out from under and keep the faith, y'all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anissa, you have your hand up?
Yeah, one more, Mr. Ron. I wanted to try to encourage everybody to get your Halloween costumes and Halloween candy ready this month. I know a lot of people are cynical and ambivalent about Summerween in October, but Scaryoki is my favorite and one of the best projects that KPFT does, and I'm hoping that having things will improve our potential membership. That's all.
I appreciate that very much. And 1438, Nancy, would you like to go ahead?
Yes. Can you,
hello.
You're on.
Okay. Matthew is using my phone. He cannot get in and he asked me to merge on his phone. Is that okay? Matthew.
Yes, that is great. That is great with me. Yeah. So I was just going to speak briefly about some of the perspectives and concerns of membership and listeners with regards to where we are KPFT right now. Unfortunately, there's been a pretty strong consensus, and this is just, I'm just going to cut to the chase out here, that Sandy has really been a bad choice of general manager for this particular station, given its mission of diversity, given it's been said, I haven't heard them, but that he has made derogatory comments about.
So we're not going to talk about personnel issues. If you have a policy, or a show or something that you want to talk about, absolutely there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. that's out there, but I moved room from that, Julie noted. There's also been concerns about Spanish English show that's really been touted by management, and there's been a sense with some listeners that would be better for FM than HD. And so really, I think people really want something that really connects with the community, and there's really a mismatch between like the body of KPFT right now and the shows too, especially the content, especially when 75% of Houston is people of color and very diverse. And unfortunately that has not been reflected in KPFT shows. I'm not saying there aren't some good shows or great shows, but we could do a lot better. And I think we have a long way to go there. Governance committee should really be standing up for programmers and listeners. And right now there's a lot of concerns about that. And just even the sense of disenfranchisement, especially with this vacancy and with regards to not selecting the runner up, but okay, again, that's something I just want to get out there. I want to get out there. There's some real concerns from the membership with regards to this, but I think we really want grassroots democratic public radio, and we really want a chance to do that. And we want to make our voices heard that not everyone with a KPFT is a happy camper right now. And we really would like some change, and we really like the spirit of the original KPFT when Black Panthers were able to get on the air and speak, and activists were able to, get their voices heard. Houston's melange of diverse communities just, need a place. And I think KPFT could be that place, but KPFT isn't that place right now. And that's just my perspective and the perspective of other people, a lot of other people listening. And we hope, we don't want to be NPR light, NPR. We want to be progressive, grassroots, democratic public radio where people have a chance to speak, have their voices heard. Everyone from, Acres Homes to Sunnyside to Southwest Houston to the Heights, and just everyone everywhere in between, need a place and walks of life. And I think we have a lot of progress to make. And that's what I have to say at this point. So wish everybody the best and take care.
All right. Thank you for that input. Third 10, you have your hand up again. So you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. I just want to make sure you all know that, our volunteer leftish manager, Michael Novick, was fired by the new people in power, and all the progressive shows. Well, I don't know all, but the progressive shows that he put on have been taken off since, and milder shows have been put on. And the KPFK LSV is really out of hand. They pay no attention to Robert's Rules of Orders and find every excuse they can to not let the people speak, and including canceling every other meeting, so we won't get our 30 minutes anyway. And that's all for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to, Nancy, you have your hand up? You have additional items or is that left over?
Yes. Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yes.
Good. All right. You know, when I'm not sure, I probably have said this before, but I'll say it again. We really need to connect with the community. We really, really need to have more committee time to do that. Even if it's just getting an eighth flyer, not a quarter flyer, eighth flyer on every door in the place. But if we don't have programming that attracts them, then it's, you know, like up mountain travel, very difficult. And so it's the programming. Please consider to have a programming committee. KPFT, the last programming committee that KPFT had ended in February of 2012. And we have not had any input from community, you know, to get in together and start thinking how to promote, how to improve, how to connect with the community. What do they want? What is needed? How to involve younger people, students, you know, like we have station IDs. We could have kids doing the station IDs, and we have music for, you know, just to not to have dead air when we're waiting for Democracy Now! To come on. We could have local bands come on and say, and they could give their radio names and, you know, we're from this Pershing High School or that high school or anyway, something to connect and give a taste of radio. We could even have radio workshops to teach during the school vacation time. That would be just wonderful if we could get them, have them make 1 minute cards about Black history. We did that 1 year, 365 Black. 1 minute card for every day. It was something in history. We could do it for, Brown, 365 Brown or 365 ethnic, just all purpose, because we have so many different, groups here, for the young people to make up their own scripts and announce it. You know, we could have young people's bands, to do instead of listening to the same cards over and over. And I appreciate the work that went into them, but you know, you get tired of the same cards and, promoting the station when we could be putting younger voices, young people, new to radio, give them a taste of radio. Did I go over? No, I still have 1 minute left. Okay. And about
the, hey, Nancy, can I use like 30 seconds of your time?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I just want to say, and you can talk about what happened with Indie Media, because I always seem to get shut down when I'm talking about it. So Indie Media that used to be on KPFT, we had a lot of what you were talking about. We would have new people come in and read headlines. That's how we got new people involved with our show and with KPFT. And also the second thing is that we had a bit that was This Week in Radical History, where we would talk about different stuff that happened in history during that week. So that's it. Thank you for letting me use some of your time, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Houston, right. In the media, it should be back on the air. There's no reason to keep it off the air.
And that.
Back to you.
Thank you kindly. That takes us to 8:30. Thank you for all that input. Appreciate your addressing the board, taking the time out of your evening to do that. The next item that we have is item 12, which are the committee and task force reports. We start with development and outreach. Teresa, are you? You're there somewhere. There you are. You're muted.
But are we on 12 or are we on 11?
Thinking. 11 was ED report, and Susan was giving.
I thought when we removed the ice, we moved it up. Okay,
sorry.
Whatever. 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 Okay. Yes. Now I misplaced it in my little pile of paper. Sorry. 1 minute.
We could have somebody else come back to Teresa if that's better.
We could Thank move on to one and pop back. Okay. So, the next one that we have is MSRC. Susan, do we have?
No, at first, MSRC continued to meet even after it, the LSB didn't have the function about, developing a pool of candidates for the GM, but we did contribute, ideas and candidates to the ED, when she, selected Sandy to be the permanent GM. There were 16 candidates and she interviewed them all. We no longer meet. We no longer have a function.
Okay.
We can then, hang on a second. We can then remove MSRC from the list of committees. Okay. We'll do so next time. And development and outreach.
Okay. Development and outreach met on the 5th. We reported that. I want to report that the watermelon event certainly a fun, but it was a great outreach event because it gave people an opportunity to meet other KPFT listeners. I think that Michael Woodson and Debbie Smith did a particularly good job with like just interacting. I mean, Debbie was running around passing out watermelon and striking up conversations. I think she created a lot of goodwill. And people couldn't resist giving her money. So that was great. Same way with Tom Hartman. I wish we had had a few more tables of people in the community, but it was a great opportunity for some people to kind of meander, strike up conversations about social issues and political issues. And we did take, actually, we had two people renew pledges at that event also. Calling lapsed donors has also been providing us with an opportunity to kind of, meet some people and, kind of strengthen bonds. Although because sometimes it's difficult to imagine other people that are listening and, we do have an opportunity to find out if a person's not doing well, what they really think of the programming while they're renewing their pledge or not, talk about premiums that they haven't received, for example. So it's and people have things to donate to the station, and just talking with them makes them think, oh, well, here's something that I could do for the station, or that sounds like it might be an interesting thing to attend that boat ride, for example. We have a Woodlands Pride event on October 25th. We are looking for any board members who might like to sit at a table or work the crowd. So if you would like to attend a Pride event along with people from Queer Voices that might be attending, it's a lovely event. October 25th. Same way with the Sunday. Tori, you want to say anything about Sunday, September 21st from 2 to 4?
Yeah. Let's see. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So this is something that's initiated by Bill McKibben, who is coming to town in September the 11th and speaking at another venue, but he'll be promoting this event later on in September, on September 21st, at Christ the King Lutheran Church, which is at the corner of Greenbrier and Rice, 2353 Rice, from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday. It's a gathering of folks organized by Third Act, which is Bill McKibben's group. And it's a lot of environmental groups. I think we've got like a dozen different environmental groups tabling at the event so far. There's going to be a few speakers, real short speeches. The whole thing is maybe everybody's going to get 5 minutes to speak, so it's not a lot of speeches. There's like two little 15-minute workshops, And there's going to be a kids zone. There's going to be food. There's going to be a band playing as you come in. And so it'll be a fun day, environmental oriented. Houston Electric Car organization is going to be there with a bunch of cool electric cars for display. The church is organizing a rain barrel workshop. And so it'll be, you know, a busy event with a lot of people that are concerned about the environment. It would be nice if, I don't know if there's any tables left, for KPFT. It's a completely non-commercial event. You know, there's nobody selling anything. I would have liked for KPFT to have a table there, but I think, it still might be possible for KPFT to sponsor the event in a non-monetary way. You know, just, let us use your logo and, you know, on our advertising kind of thing, sponsor. We spoke about this the last time we gathered here in the hallowed halls of Zoom. I'm not sure if any, or what has taken place. I think Sandy mentioned he was going to pass the info on to some programmers.
To do a promo also.
Pardon? What'd you say?
To do a promo also.
A what also?
A PSA. A PSA. The event.
So Sandy, has anything happened on Twitter?
We're not going to do a promo. I did pass this along to two or three programmers to see if they were interested in maybe doing an interview of that sort. Has anybody reached out?
I haven't got any phone calls from.
Okay. Well, where's your answer? I mean,
what contact info did you give them?
I told them to contact you directly by email.
Okay. And, So, have you thought about, sponsoring the event for KPFT? KPFT as a sponsor of the event.
I'm sorry, Tori, you were breaking up.
Have you thought about having KPFT as a sponsor of the event? A non-monetary sponsor?
I don't. We can talk about that offline. I don't know. I don't know. We're not going to be a monetary sponsor.
Okay.
Any more than you were a monetary sponsor at Tom Hartman.
He said non-monetary.
Oh, right. So, sorry. Okay, I misunderstood again. The audio is a little flaky.
Non-monetary, yeah.
I don't know, Tori. I have to look at it further. That's all I'm going to say right now.
I'll take this opportunity to invite everybody on the board to come down and anybody from KPFT to hang out with us and interact. Getting people to pay for KPFT is the second, rung on the ladder. The first rung is to get people to listen to the station. And so these kind of events are a way for KPFT to meet new listeners, you know, because as good as it is that we have 1.5% of radio listeners, you know, there's always more. You know, people we can meet. Most people don't know about KPFT, even people in the activist community and all the communities that we particularly serve. They don't know who we are. We need to get out into the community to meet them. They're not going to come across us on the radio.
Well, it would be for Twardarski to interview or Wally James or for us literature on a table to promote a certain program like Progressive Forum or Gulf Streams. So
yeah, you're breaking up, Teresa. I wanted to get
if we're gonna pitch some particular part of development or outreach, why don't we work out a different venue to do that? Because I don't think the board's gonna vote to do that kind of activity.
I'm just asking for volunteers if someone's interested in that. Okay.
Sure.
We might want to have an online survey on our website, something, because we haven't done that in probably at least over 2 years. So that's just a thought. So I did have two questions from his report. When people call online, you said that someone donated $240 and it was during one. if a person calls into the to the answering service, or if they go online, what percentage of those peoples are giving any feedback programming they like?
Well, I guess what you're asking is how many comments are left?
Yeah.
Well, during my sense is probably about 15%, 20% of the people that donate leave a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly that's during fund drive. When it's not fund drive, you know, every once in a while we'll see something.
Well, I was talking to someone today and I said, you might want to, I said, you might want to do your membership, and she went online and she pledged right. So if it's calling, during someone's show, are you assuming that they like that show? If they don't put something in the comment line?
Well, the way it typically works is if during fund drive, okay. When a pledge comes in, it's not tagged, you know, with a comment or maybe a premium, even like someone takes a deadbeat t-shirt, it goes onto that programmer that's on the air that at that time. So there's maybe a certain element of randomness to the whole thing, but I think for the most part, people are calling during the show to donate to that show, or right after that show ends, you see that flurry too. So in this case, I think this, I don't know how this pledge came in. If they called the studio or pledged online, I was just told that that happened today.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Okay. So, I think the committee's perspective might want to reemphasize the importance of being asked for feedback. I know that answering service people are probably worried, but they might want to just ask that question specifically. Do you have a favorite show, or do you have any comments for us? Because otherwise these people are out there and they don't know what they're thinking. Make assumptions. It's also critical that they update their email whenever possible. And thank you very much.
All right. Rob, you had a question?
This is following up. I'm on the development and outreach committee with Teresa, and I'm trying to make sure that we, you know, when we think about development and outreach, that we think about development. And the one thing that I'm trying to get the board to do, and I think the new bylaws are promoting this, is to think a lot more about development. I want to challenge the board, and I've said this multiple times, I'd like for the board to come up with an idea for fundraising, and I'd love to start a subcommittee of any of those that are interested and try to do that. I have come up with an idea, and I've contacted two programmers, and I'm going to work with Glenna and Marcus, and I'll just be real brief, but they are going to work on doing a private event. I'm going to sponsor it at my house. I'm going to pay for the wine and whatever, and we're going to try to sell tickets, you know, 12, 15 tickets for $100, $150. We'll work out the details. But the idea is I'm really trying to get this committee, this board, to think about what we can do on fundraising. I really think that we are lacking in our ability to tackle this very important problem, which is something that boards, all the other boards I've been on, seems to be the highest priority. So again, I reach out to the committee for another time to try to say, what is it that we can do to work on fundraising? I'd love to visit with anybody that's on the board, or actually not on the board as well. And let's come up with some ideas. Let's coordinate it with staff, and let's try to use it. For example, the one I just suggested will be done during the next fundraiser. You know, let's come up and support what is going on with fundraising. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. So that's what we have for development and outreach. Then governance, Marianne, do you have information from governance?
Yes, thank you. Just let me remind everyone that the governance committee meets every other month. So, our next meeting is on September the 16th at 7:30. Okay. However, one of the things that we're currently doing is we are having, brainstorming meetings, and we just had one on August the 2nd. And we will be having hopefully another one soon before the end of the month. And, we had 9 members of our committee there. And, we're just brainstorming right now and hopefully come up with some, good ideas on how we're going to move forward as far as reviewing, these, new bylaws. However, let me just say that, our meeting was led by, Susan Young, our PNB representative, our chair lady, and she did an excellent job in, getting us all to, just share, our visions, and, it was really productive, I felt. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I really enjoyed the meeting that we had on Saturday and looking forward to the next one. I hope that more people can come the next time maybe. I was wondering if anybody who attended the meeting had any input on how they felt, do any of you who were present, there were 9 of us there. Do any of you, have any feedback on how you felt, about this meeting? I myself personally thought it was awesome and I felt that we made some progress. And, because, as Pacificans, we have a lot of things that we need to sort out among us. We're all individuals and we all have, independent thought. So, I really thought it was great. I loved it. What did some of the rest of you think? I was wondering.
We have a couple of hands up. Susan, you had your hand up.
Why don't you go ahead and start with Tori? And I wanted to thank Rob for hosting us and thank everybody who attended. We, met for a couple hours, a little longer. I think Deb brought some nosh and, I think it was a really excellent session. I wanted to caution that Matthew Dowd made the caution that this is not a meeting. This is a brainstorming session. So posting, minutes, none of that stuff is involved.
Lori, you have the floor.
Okay. I thought it was, a good group, somewhat, diverse. I wish it was more diverse. We didn't really get into the details, which I think we're going to at the next meeting as far as the actual, bylaws. Mostly it was people getting to know each other. So it was like that part of the script where you're doing character development and the plot hasn't actually started yet, but you're just establishing, what people's motivations are, who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? And there was no bad guys. We need evil villain to make this more interesting. So if anybody's out there and wants to step up. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, characters we have. Yes. Thanks, Tori. Your hand is up, Debbie.
Yes, I thought it was really a good get to know each other in person and be able to talk pretty much freely about all the issues that was on our minds. And like Tori said, we really didn't get all the way into the bylaws. And in a sense, that was okay because we got to know each other and we got to voice everything. And yes, there weren't no bad guys. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. And, it wasn't a meeting. Like Susan said, we didn't take minutes or anything like that, but just getting to go around the table, we introduced ourselves and we got to say what we thought we were going to try to accomplish there. And, I just really liked it. I, I, I think it was just great, and I'm ready for the second one. And, you know, and it was 2 or 3 hours out of our time. And of course I traveled probably the farthest, but I didn't mind it. And I really, really think we got something accomplished in it, not so much into the bylaws, but we got the accomplishment of saying what was on our mind and, going with that. And then everyone else, you know, if one of us said something, then we could go back and let the other person, somebody else could say, well, what about that? And why do you think this? And, but I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks, Debbie. Appreciate that. Yeah. And, I would just like to echo thanks, Rob, for yeah. hosting. That was good. Appreciate the coffee. Appreciate the, yeah. Okay. So that's governance. Then we have the Committee of Inclusion. Do we have a date for the Committee of Inclusion to meet? Is there anybody from the Committee of Inclusion?
Well, it's myself and PK, Ron. And I don't know if PK has anything to add, but as far as I know, I haven't heard. And Lillian. Lillian's here. I haven't heard from Adriana's not at the meeting tonight. So far we haven't arranged for a meeting. I did ask the other members to if they could come together and come up with an idea. So I don't know if Lillian or PK have anything, but as far as myself, I don't have anything that I know of right now.
All right. All right. Thank you. Then that takes us to item 13 on the agenda, which is the PNB director's report. We got some amount of that. Is there anything additional that we're all good on that? Thank you kindly. Appreciate that. That takes us to item 14, which is unfinished business, of which I believe we have none. Unless there's somebody that has something, you can raise your hand. Otherwise, that takes us to 15, which is new business. Is there any new business before the floor? Not hearing any. We will not have any new business this time around. We're still open until the end of the meeting. Item 16 is to confirm the date for and the date and the time, I guess, for the next LSB meeting, which will be September 10th, 2025. We're hoping to have candidates for the LSB position talking then, so we'll reserve some space for that to happen as well. Are there any objections to September 10th at 7 p.m. Central? Not hearing any. That will be our next meeting. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Sue's always ready to go.
Ready to adjourn.
Finley, unless I hear objections, we will adjourn this meeting at 8:55 p.m. Thank you very much, everybody, for your attention and your input. That's it.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, all. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
See you.
Good night.